In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I have with me today Eleanor McCullen, and we're going to talk about how she got involved in the pro-life ministry, how she got involved in counseling young women and also men, how it all began so many years ago, 11 years ago, I believe, and what some of the things that have happened. So, Eleanor, tell us how you got involved.
Well, hello, Father. It's nice to be here with everybody. And, well, of course, you come into the picture. It's 11 years ago, Father. And because you were the vessel of grace that the Lord chose to use, I received a very dramatic experience with the Holy Spirit. And another time I'll go into the whole experience. But that's what happened to me 11 years ago. And you were the instrument of grace. And it was quite dramatic. And you said to me, Eleanor, why do you think that this experience, this dramatic, beautiful experience with the Holy Spirit happened to you? And I haven't thought about it, Father. And you said, well, it's not about you. When the Holy Spirit comes in such a deep way, it's about going out of yourself and going out and telling people about Jesus and going to the community and building up the kingdom of God. And I said, really? I don't think, what could I possibly do? And I said, I think I'm too old anyway, Father. And you said, are you 103? So, of course, I said, no. And he said, well, there's plenty for you to do. And he gave me a couple of suggestions. Well, he gave me about 6 suggestions. And I really was negative. I was a reluctant servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't really like to admit that. But by the time he got to the 7th item, Eleanor, I think you could work with women who are experiencing pregnancy and they're contemplating abortion. And you could start by praying outside of a Planned Parenthood or a place where abortions are taking place. So I said, oh, gosh, I don't know, Father. I don't think I can. He said, well, take a step forward in faith. Just do it, like step forward in faith and the Lord will run with you. So I didn't understand what that meant, but I did take the step forward in faith, and it meant calling Bill Cotter here in the Boston area. He is in charge of the few people, unfortunately, just a few people that go out on the sidewalk and stand in front of Planned Parenthood and offer help and hope. So I called Bill 11 years ago, Bill Cotter, and he answered the phone. And I said, well, I could pray the rosary outside of Planned Parenthood. And he welcomed, and he said, yes. He said, please come. So I started August of 2000, just praying the rosary, which is actually quite important. And one day, about 4 months later, one of the counselors became sick, and so I stepped in. And so I've been doing the counseling with the young men and women who come into the clinic. No one really wants to be there. So I'm there just to say, I know you don't really want to be here because you're a byproduct of our society and you don't have to be here for an abortion. I am here to help you and I will give you hope and help. And we're compassionate people that stand there and we're not judgmental, Father. We're there just to put out a helping hand, hold their hand through the pregnancy and beyond.
Tell us a little bit about the hats, because I think that's a beautiful story with Mrs. Bean.
Yes, actually it is. The last time, Father, you had me here on the radio, I called out for people to go deeper. We need our pro-life people to even go deeper. And they're saying, well, we're doing enough, but our people, Father, I'm calling them to go further and farther. We have to go deeper. And Eleanor Beam heard me, and she said, well, I can do something. I could make baby hats. And she is, and she does, and amazing. She mails them to me, like she'll mail 12 a week, and she has her prayer group, I believe, knitting them now. I think they're crocheting, and they're baby blue, and they're pink, and they're beautiful. And they catch the eye of the mother going in. And inside the little hat, I put our brochure and tell people about pregnancy help, which is right in Brighton, and also A Woman's Concern, which is right in Dorchester. But the brochure is in the little tiny hat. And Father is just amazing. The heart just has to melt when you see this hat. And they take the hat. And we have couples that have changed their mind because of the hat and because of Eleanor. And because she said to herself, well, I can go deeper. I can do more. And so her gift was making hats. And also, I have to add, she makes the beautiful pink and blue rosary beads. And I tuck those into the hat. So it's just a wonderful way. And I've heard from other people too, Father. There's a woman that's making little blankets and she's giving those to Friends of the Unborn. And just people have come back, but come around even deeper. But this call, this radio today is calling for more. We need more help. And I'll tell you a little bit later what that might be.
You know, the story that I like is the story that of the woman that came to your house. She had already gone through having that stuff put in her, and I was somehow came to your house that day, because I don't often go to your house, but I was there that day. And tell us that story, remember?
Of course I remember. How could I forget that, Father? And the reason you came to my home was you were going to meet some Boston College students that are in Father Joshi's philosophy class, and they had not arrived yet. And you were feeling a little bit like, I'm wasting my time. I'm here and the Boston College students haven't arrived. But here's where you come in, and this is the rest of the story. That morning, I was outside of Planned Parenthood, and a young woman came by, and I was standing by my car, and she kept looking at the magnetic sign that I have on my car, which says, abortion stops a beating heart. And she was looking at it, and she was walking slowly, and I said, good morning. How can I help you today? And she said, oh, no, no. And she started to weep a little. And she said, no, you can't help me. It's too late. So I said, oh, I think I can. What is it? Tell me. And she did tell me. She said, reluctantly, she said, I was here the day before. And she said, I hate to say this, but this is what happens with an abortion. If the fetus is a large size, maybe 3 months or 3.5 months, Father, there's a 2-day procedure. The first day, the laminary is inserted, so the cervix expands. And then the next day, the baby, the fetus, is removed. So she said, you can't help me. She's crying. She said, I was here yesterday, and the laminary was installed or inserted, and it's too late. So I had no idea what I could do. But there again, I keep remembering, Father says, take a step forward in faith. So I did. I said, well, get into my car. I can help you. I can do something. Now, you have to remember, I have no idea what I'm going to do. But I call Dr. Helen Jackson. And the phone is ringing, and this young lady sitting in the back seat of the car, and my heart is pounding, and the phone is ringing. And finally, on the 8th ring, Dr. Helen Jackson, a wonderful, wonderful doctor, Father, over at St. Elizabeth. She answered. She said, Dr. Jackson. I said, oh, I'm so glad you answered. I said, I do have a problem here, a challenge. I told her about the laminary, and the woman has changed her mind. She does not want to go ahead with the abortion, but she doesn't know what to do. And Dr. Helen Jackson said, well, bring her over right away, which I did, over to St. Elizabeth's. And it was about 11 o'clock in the morning now, and the laminary were taken out. And Dr. Jackson said, I can't be sure that you won't lose the baby now anyway because of this, but we'll give it a full try. And we were all praying, and the young lady was crying. So we took the laminary out, and then Dr. Jackson said, well, take this young lady back to your house to rest until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then come back and we'll do another ultrasound. So now this is where Father comes in. I go back to the house, and Father's sitting there feeling a little bit dejected because the Boston College students have not arrived. So I said, Father, but this is the reason that you're here today. I introduced him to this lovely young lady, and I told him the situation. Father just, he has this beautiful gift of hugging people and holding them and praying with them, and he did, and he prayed that the cervix would close, and he sang, and the woman was crying, and Father was singing to the woman, and it went on for about 45 minutes. It was just a beautiful sight. I wish you could all see what was happening. Try to picture it. So Father finished the prayer, and then the woman had some lunch, and she went up to lie down until 5 o'clock, and we went back to St. Elizabeth's, and the ultrasound showed that, well, they investigated, and they said the cervix was completely closed. And a couple doctors came in, Father, because they couldn't believe it. But it did close, and guess what? She did have a baby girl, and it was a happy ending, Father. And just because you taught me how to take that step in faith, do something, and once you do that, the Lord will lead you and guide you and grace you.
Remember the ultrasound? Your husband was very impressed by the ultrasound, if you remember.
That's right. I forgot that, because when we looked at the ultrasound over by the window in the dining room, that this sounds, but you have to see it, that the little face on the fetus or the little teeny tiny baby, there was a smile on the baby's face. And Joe, that's my husband, he picked up on it, and then we all enjoyed watching it. And even my husband, who doesn't cry, he had tears in his eyes when he saw that little smile on that baby's face that day.
See, it's going the extra mile, you know. Jesus says that if someone asks you to go 1 mile with him, go 2. If they ask you for your gloves, give them your coat. You know, when you live like that, you begin to see things that are wonderful. Like, here's this lady now with the beautiful baby, probably a few years old now, you know, because someone cared enough. And that's the whole thing, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we always think, Eleanor, someone else is going to do the caring. You know, we always think, you know, someone else will care. I don't have to do it. Someone else will say the rosary outside the abortion mill. I don't have to do it. We always think it's someone else's job, when in all reality, the Lord is tapping us on the shoulder and said, will you be my ambassador for life? For life. You see, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is guaranteed to every person in the United States. It is not a gift from Obama or from Bush. It is a gift from God. But if we snuff life out, you cannot have liberty or the pursuit of happiness. Life is precious, and we are living in a culture of death. There's just, you know, you look at young kids, you know, what kind of shirts do they wear? They have skulls and bones and death written all over them. You know, rather than skulls and bones and death, why not something alive? We are living in a culture of death. We take our children, and we can kill our children to the last moment. Let me also tell you this. This will be the most important election that you've ever experienced in the United States. Because I'm going to tell you, if we elect a progressive president, we will have 2 more judges that will be crazy and that we will never be able to undo Roe versus Wade and whatever the other one, Bolton versus whatever. I'm saying, it's, you know, you've got to vote in this election, and you've got to know what people stand for. Can I tell you that there's only one person in the Senate about 4 years ago, that voted that if a fetus was born through a botched abortion, that fetus, that child, would be starved to death. And guess who voted that? Only one person, one senator. Guess what his name is? Barack Hussein Obama. He said that if a fetus was born through a botched abortion, it should be starved. The other 49 senators said no. He was the only one. He is the most pro-death president that we have ever had. And we need to pray for him, because the Bible says we need to pray for our leaders. But we need to know that's what he stands for. Tell us another story, Eleanor. Tell us a story about the children that are named after you. One of them is named after you, Oprah and Eleanor.
Well, that's a good story too, Father. Yeah, one little identical little girls, and one is Eleanor, and of course one is Oprah. And well, it's a story where the couple were very upset about being pregnant, and then when we go to see the ultrasound, of course we see twins up on the screen, and there's nothing more exciting. And of course that brought quite a bit of stress to the young mother, and she was just so afraid of, you know, how we're going to do two, and one would have been difficult enough. But we worked together. We worked together as a family, and I met her husband, and we decided that we could do this with some help. It was a challenge, and she met the challenge beautifully. And you were also very helpful to the family, Father, I might add that, because you know what? It takes a group of people to surround the couples that are thinking of abortion, because once the person says, well, okay, we'll keep the baby, then you can't just say, oh, all right, well, good luck to you. It's so important that we surround the young couples with love and support. And that's what I'm asking everyone today to get involved in. I like to call it compassion with action. And everyone feels sorry for the mothers that are contemplating abortion, but after they decide to keep the child, then we have to surround them. We have to welcome them, Father. Welcome the family into your home, into your church. It's huge, because a lot of times the young mother is alone. Maybe the boyfriend has left, and maybe the family isn't talking to them because they decided to keep the child. So I'm calling everyone now, compassion with action, our own pro-life people, to go deeper and to go further. Welcome a young family into your church. Invite them to service. Invite them over for dinner some night. You could contact your pregnancy health centers in the whatever city you're in, and say, could I have the name of a mother that's expecting? I would like to make a telephone call to them and say hello and congratulations on the baby coming, and maybe drive them to the doctor's office, or just to call just to say hello. How are you? How are you feeling? Are you taking your vitamins? This is a small thing, but it's huge when you feel alone. Once you've made that decision to keep the baby, then to be surrounded by love and comfort, not necessarily money. I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about giving them a spaghetti dinner maybe some night, or inviting them over for Thanksgiving. Or maybe, here's a case, Father, last week, one of my mothers found a new apartment. So I said, oh, that's wonderful. Everybody would say, that's wonderful. But she had no way to move. So I'm calling on people across the country. Maybe you have a pickup truck. You say you could move a family to their new apartment. You could maybe, if you're a man that's working, or you like to work with young fathers, maybe you could invite them over and say, well, what are you doing with the rest of your life? Are you going to school? Can I help you with your resume? Mentoring the young fathers-to-be. Being there for the mother, maybe when she goes into the hospital to have the baby. I was there, Father, one time just to visit one of my mothers at Brigham and Women's, and all of a sudden, while I'm there, the baby starts to come, and the doctors are running in, and they said, Eleanor, you're going to be part of the birthing team. I said, oh my gosh, I've never done this. Well, I did it, and the baby girl was born, and guess what? This mother had no one in the hospital that day. No one came. No family members came. I was there, and I stayed with her until 8 o'clock that night until they were able to get her into a room. But it's so important that we put our compassion into action, and there are so many ways that we could do that, Father.
I'm sure there are knitters out there. They can knit pink and blue blankets. I'm sure there are knitters and crocheters that can knit hats, things for babies. I'm sure there are people that can do those things. But you see, we always think, Eleanor, someone else is going to do it. Someone else will take the job. When I'm the one that's called to take that job, I'm the one that's called to do what I'm supposed to do. It's very easy to pass the buck, you know? But you see, you don't pass the buck, but you see the fruit. If you saw Eleanor's refrigerator, what would they see outside the refrigerator?
Well, on the refrigerator, Father, I have all the pictures of children and babies and ultrasound pictures and families, and it's quite lovely. Yeah, I put all the pictures that the mothers send me up on the refrigerator, and it's beautiful, and I thank God that I have the grace to meet these young people, and that's what I'm inviting everybody to have, this blessing. It's a blessing. It's not work. You're right. I used to think, well, somebody must be doing all this, and then you said to me, Eleanor, you are they. I said, really? I'm they? Well, I didn't want to be they, but then the Lord gave me grace, and everyone's listening. You can do more. You will be blessed so much more. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do, whether it's standing outside, greeting a couple going in, or giving your name into a crisis pregnancy center so that you could help whatever they need. Welcome the young mother and father to be into your family. That's what I'm calling for everybody to do today. It could be just you'll sign up for a telephone call. It could be just something little like that. But Father, it is huge.
Now, I want to tell you about a woman's concern. Maybe you might be able to go to a woman's concern and spend time answering phones. You know, a woman concern found in Revere and where else?
Dorchester and Cape Cod and Beverly and New Bedford.
A woman's concern. You look up in the yellow pages. You know, something that you can do. You know, and one of the greatest things is, and it's one of the most difficult things, is standing outside of the abortion mill. And you know why it's great? Because when people are out there, even though we don't know it, people turn away. It's mm-hmm. like they used to sell dirty books, you know? In order to sell a dirty book in the past, you had to face somebody and buy the dirty book. Now you can just go right on the computer. So that facing somebody stopped people from buying the dirty books. Now, when people are outside the abortion mill, they don't have to do anything but pray, and that's powerful. Mm-hmm. That stops people from going in. Because, you know, the people's conscience gets pricked. So that's 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. You can go there on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Monday or a Friday or a Saturday. They're open 6 days a week. And yesterday was pouring rain. And Eleanor said it was very busy.
It was extremely busy, Father, and it's so hard, couple after couple, and we just say, just wait an hour. Let me take you to a safe center, and you'll see the ultrasound. You'll see the baby's heart beating. The baby's heart beats at 3 weeks. Please, please come back. That's all I do. But yesterday, Father, as much as it was upsetting, then the Lord blessed us with a telephone call yesterday afternoon. A woman who had been at Planned Parenthood received the information, and she walked out, and she did not have the abortion, but we never knew it. So, Father, so many things happen that we don't know, and that's perfectly fine. But this woman called and she said, yes, you gave me the information and your telephone number, and I did walk out. I did not have the abortion. I'm 6 months pregnant now, but I do need help. So we're all going to help her. I said, you'll have everything for the baby shower, everything. And because we're a team, we're a family of community that are going to help this young mother-to-be.
So things happen that you don't know. There were turnarounds that this lady that called yesterday, Eleanor was having a hard time after the being outside in the rain, and it seemed like nothing happened. And, you know, she was sitting with her hands in her head, or her head in her hands, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's this lady that said, months ago I met you, and I didn't have the abortion. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. That's God. That's God telling Eleanor, what you do brings forth fruit, brings forth a harvest. What you do, even when it seems like nothing is happening, I'm working in a powerful way by your presence being out there. And I'm looking for people who will go to 1055 Commonwealth Avenue and who will just stand there and pray. I'm looking for people, the Lord saying, who will stand up for my children that will be slaughtered. I remember going out there one day and I saw the truck that collected all the medical waste. I said, that's not medical waste. Those are arms and legs and heads. That's not medical waste. Those are children. Those are children. Will you hear the cry of the Lord? Will you go for my children? Will you go to 1055 Commonwealth Avenue? Will you go and pray and pray and pray? These are my children, says the Lord. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.